countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
First, since the turn of the century, there has been a 10-year rolling roadmap to help navigate the broad agri-food sector in this country. And with exports of 13 billion euros, including over 85% of what Irish farmers produce, the journey of Irish food from farm to fork is complex and requires considerable forward planning. Now, the latest incarnation of this process is titled Agri-Strategy 2030, bringing together stakeholders from across the agriculture and food spectrum.
It's really, as you say, to chart the future of the Irish agri-food sector up till 2030. I think the essential purpose of our committee is to see how Ireland can go from being good to being great over the next decade.
Just over a year ago, eminent agri-economist and public policy advisor Tom Arnold was appointed to chair the Agri-Food Strategy Stakeholder Committee, charged with assessing the challenges and opportunities facing the sector over the next decade. Here he is speaking to Countrywide in January of last year.
And I think the essential way forward here is that indeed agriculture has to do more to reduce its own emissions, but we also have to have a roadmap for how the sector can capture more carbon. And those twin tracks, I think, are the way forward, and I suspect that's what our committee will be looking at.
But farm organisations, private food companies, Chagask, the EPA, Bord Bia and the Environmental Pillar, representing 32 environmental NGOs, among others, made up the committee, which worked to draft a strategy over the past 12 months or so. Its remit includes developing and sustaining global export markets, producer viability, and mitigating against environmental destruction. However, last week, the Environmental Pillar said it was reluctantly withdrawing, stating that the draft report, quote, is woefully inadequate to meet the social and environmental challenges we face.
What we need to see and what wasn't in there was a roadmap for the sector to come into line with our water, air, climate and biodiversity commitments.
The committee has been tasked with proposing a vision to reduce emissions and reverse and restore biodiversity decline. It's believed this includes a target of carbon neutrality by 2050. But according to Una Duggan of Birdwatch Ireland, the draft paper presented to the committee last week shows no let-up on business as usual.
We didn't see much focus on supporting smaller farmers in the strategy, and that was really worrying as well. So we just couldn't put our name to that strategy, which doesn't really address the seriousness of the situation we're in.
The phrase industrial agri has been used quite a lot by the Environmental Pillar. How do you quantify industrial agri in the context of Irish farms?
So I suppose, I mean, Ireland doesn't really look like the Texas model of industrial agriculture that you see, and that's a fair point. But what we do see is a very resource-intensive sector, and it relies on excessive nutrient inputs and stocking rates, and then releases an unsustainable amount of waste to air and water and soil. So I suppose that's how we'd quantify it here, is it's a resource-intensive model of agriculture. And it's really, when you see the image of Irish agriculture as being grass-fed, and we know it is grass-fed, a lot of it, it's actually really fertilizer-fed. And this is kind of, you know, lost in that description. And then on the flip side, we have livestock farming that, you know, it doesn't have to be intensive. There's a lot of examples of high nature value, low input, low intensity farmers out there that are just, they're farming with nature and not getting the recognised support that they should be getting.
Thomas Duffy is a dairy farmer on the Cavanmead border. He's also president of Macro na Ferma, and he too sits on the Agri-Food Strategy Committee.
When you are in a discussion with a number of different stakeholders, from our point of view, our focus is going to be on environmental sustainability, but also farmer viability and also generational renewal. And not every stakeholder will get everything that they really are hoping to get as the number one priority. And we have to compromise to achieve those things. We can't have environmental sustainability which doesn't provide for farmer viability.
But the environmental pillar will say that agriculture is just paying lip service to sustainability, and that this is evidenced in the draft report.
I don't agree. I think certainly we are only at the very start of a journey, and there are very key challenges. The expansion of the national dairy herd has happened. It will not continue at the same rate. Now we need to find ways to mitigate the emissions intensity, but certainly proposals in terms of limiting or decreasing the issues that could crop up immediately around that. Who says which farmer gets to keep the same number of animals? How is that applied? Is it going to be the same for small farms as for large farms? What about higher stock farms, lower stock farms? And what about places where the emissions intensity per kg of beef may be very high, but it's necessary for the ecosystem in the case of high nature value farming? So there's a number of complexities when you get into that. I think it's what's far more important is getting farmer buy-in, and that is happening.
The catastrophic losses that we've seen over past decades have not recovered. And recently common species like kestrel and stock dove are now in decline too. So we really do need farmers to help with restoring farmland biodiversity. And that is often in relation to threatened species. But we really need locally adapted farming for nature measures to support this, and a new delivery model. So then in relation to water, there are some initiatives happening. We recognise those, but yet again, we're not seeing the results yet. So that's where we're concerned.
But the reality is, when I'm talking to farmers, sustainability is coming up constantly. It's a number one topic for us. It's not that we're not aware, but as I say, it's often difficult to put in place with the cost of investment on some measures and the cost of changing on different products that people are just not aware of. If we can achieve those things, I think we can significantly reduce and ultimately meet the aims of being carbon neutral by 2050.
Agriculture is a 13 billion euro export business. Can that sort of business and output be consolidated while at the same time be more sustainable environmentally?
The easiest way for us to be more sustainable and to meet those challenges is very clear. For more of that 13 to go back to the farmer, to go back to the primary producer so that he can invest, and for very clear market incentives for him or her to be more climate friendly, to be water quality. At the moment, the market is not returning. We see constantly, claims of people want more sustainability. But in every single consumer survey, we see that climate change is not the priority. The priority is cost, or the priority is taste. Welfare and climate is certainly moving up the area, but it's not to the same extent that, unfortunately, the consumer is paying farmers for it.
Like, I don't think we've ever had a national discussion of what kind of agriculture we would like here. And there's a significant amount of public money supporting agriculture. And it would be great if we could actually have an agri-food strategy that was developed where people were presented with different models of what we could have in this country, recognising soil types, and present the pros and cons of each, and let's actually have a proper discussion. We've never had that.
Is that not what Strategy 2030 is all about?
Well, actually, I don't think it was exactly part of its remit to go into that level of teasing out all of the issues. And we've not seen that level of engagement with the public at all. So there will be a public consultation on the strategy, but unfortunately, our past experience with consultations is often that once the strategy is kind of done and dusted, there's very little done after the fact in terms of tweaking. Whereas what would be good is if you had a public debate, like online webinars, inviting people. It's on the news, it's in the media, people are talking about it. We really haven't had that level of engagement.
The discussion or the debate on both sides remains quite adversarial. We're not getting any closer to working together between agriculture and the environment, it seems.
No, and that's incredibly disappointing to me, because I think there is both great opportunity for both sides to actually engage and listen to each other. And that was a majorly valuable contribution that the environmental pillar were making to these and are on other committees that I sit along. I think the only thing that I would certainly reject is the idea that anyone but the farm organisations, who are made up of farmers, are not representing their members. All the farm organisations, we may differ in our positions, but I'm absolutely certain that every one of them is doing their job to represent farmers. And the implication that we are not, or that we are bought off, or some other incredibly hurtful, negative thing, is really driving a massive wedge between both communities. We'll be right back.
Macrona Fermor President Thomas Duffy there and the Home Farm in Cavan, and before that the Head of Advocacy with Birdwatch Ireland, Una Duggan. And that Agri-Food Strategy 2030 is due for publication in a few weeks' time, and we will come back to it then.